Welcome to the Transform Sales Podcast, where forward-thinking business leaders come to share their experiences and ideas, learn from each other, and amplify their results together.
Hey guys, what's up? Amir Ryder here for the Transform Sales Podcast. I have a software demo review with Anas Sahail. Did I pronounce it correctly? I think so. Maybe you can correct me. Global Head of Sales with OnTop. How are you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
I've had the privilege of working with you guys for maybe a year and a half. You're one of the engines that we power our marketplace payments through, and I love what you guys are doing because you're on a similar mission helping people with the global outreach. I'm not going to get too far into it. This is about you. So maybe a quick intro about who you are and your company.
Yeah, awesome. Amir, number one, great to be working with you all. I think it's been a good journey so far, and obviously a lot more to do with our relationship. So I've been here at OnTop now for about 8 months, running our global sales team. We have folks in a lot of countries in the world, fully remote. Mission of OnTop really is to help companies scale and expand globally. And how we do that, similar to CloudTask, is we're thinking about ways to help folks hire and find talent, and at the same time, be able to then get them paid. So we've worked with folks like yourselves on the talent side, but at the same time, what we think about is, imagine you're a contractor or an employee in an international market and you work for a large global company. If you want to get paid, it's not that easy. The global market's very different in every country you go to, regulations, compliance, things that really block our customers from being able to pay their employees are what we address. OnTop has been around for 3 years. We're a YC21 company. We're backed by some pretty large investors, and I can go into that at some point. But keeping it short, you know, we're excited to be, you know, working with CloudTalk and CloudTask. Sorry, and
there's a CloudTalk.
There is a CloudTalk. And the way that we want to work together is really to find ways that we can work with companies to help unlock, you know, where they have their employees and how to get them paid. So that's a little
bit. Well, something I want to add, because I know where you're based. Right? You're based in New York City, right?
I am.
So you walk down in New York City and you look at the faces that pass you, the people. What do you see? You see pretty much every nation in the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's pretty much a large city. It's a huge city. It's more than, you know, 9 million people on an average given work day. And you know, I think you're going to see a lot of folks from every part of the world.
There's no borders in New York City, right? And I think what people are starting to realize is that some of the best talent in the world is in New York City because you get all the rightest minds, right? But now with remote work, which I think is here to stay, I think you guys think it's here to stay. I'm sure Y Combinator and all those awesome investors who are smarter than I am think it's here to stay. It's basically giving people the ability to hire globally as if they were in New York City, but without having to compete for the high pool of talent and the fact that the cost of living is very high, right? So instead of having somebody who's a top talent in, let's say, let's just pick Nicaragua and say, hey, move to New York City, and now that person needs to earn, you know, $200,000 to live, that person can stay in Nicaragua. They can get either an independent contract or an employment contract. It's very important to add, right? Because when people come to our marketplace, they're freelancers, right? And it's a different thing where when someone would go to an OnTop, it would be more likely where they actually want to say, hey, I want this person to get employee benefits, right? And things like that. So I look at it as a way of almost bringing New York City talent into the cloud and allowing you to hire those people, give them the benefits, give them the security that they want, but without having them to have them move to a high cost place where now you can retain capital. You can pay somebody $30,000 in Nicaragua, might have the same buying power as $150,000 in New York City, right? So that gets reinvested in your company. And that's, for me, what you guys are doing holds dear to my heart because I'm on a similar mission. I think you guys are just, you know, you guys are helping it a different way. Talk to me a little bit about like what you're seeing from like who, what are the companies from, you know, are they software? Are they consumer packaged goods? What's the 80-20 rule for you guys? What industry you play? Like, who are the big companies that are really benefiting the most from hiring globally? I've seen job openings from Salesforce, HubSpot, some of those guys in Colombia and all these places. I know you guys are hiring globally, but what are the biggest companies now that are maximizing global talent and leveraging you guys to ensure that that talent gets all the perks and benefits that they deserve?
Yeah, and thanks for, you know, really doing a great pitch for what we do. I think the way to think about our ICP or, you know, our ideal customer is really customers today from the 80/20 side that have, you know, a service or some sort of software that doesn't really require physical presence, right? And so the industries that we think about are companies that are doing nearshoring, offshoring, technical services, consulting services, business processing outreach, anything that's related to, you know, using talent and brain power that doesn't physically need to be present, right? And so the companies in the US that we work with today come from this world. And in fact, it's not just the US, it's our international markets. We have companies in Spain hiring in Argentina. We have companies all the way in Singapore hiring in Chile. And the way that works is really, it's a global market now, right? And it's always been the case, but I think what ends up happening is, you know, we go through a couple of different phases in our, you know, journey as a world. Number one is, you know, the pandemic. Number two is companies realizing that there's this massive amount of talent, as you said, globally. And so as we talk to these companies, you know, ideally they're somewhere between, you know, let's say 50 to 250 employees, sometimes smaller and sometimes even a lot bigger. But the key underlying theme is either they have folks in these markets that they need to get a problem solved for, or they're trying to hire people in these markets and they don't even know how the hell they're going to get them paid. So these are the two things that we look to solve for. And in fact, what we see now is, you know, as the markets are sort of in this kind of phase of like, we don't know what's going to happen, but companies are still hiring. Companies are actually just reaching out to us, even from our investors' portfolios, and asking, hey, you know, we're thinking about doing this. We want to hire 10, 15, 20 heads in this market. Like, what are we going to do to actually get this actually done from an operational standpoint? So the goal for me is really to think about like how we can empower our teams, how we can get the right talent in place, and then really how we can be like consultative as much as possible, because companies really don't know what they don't know. And the biggest thing they don't know is how to operate in a country that they've never been in or have people in today.
Yeah. And there's a big gap, right? I think, you know, when we say hire in Latin America, it's almost as if it's new, but there's been Amazon, Google, these companies have been here for 20, 30 years, right? So I think you got the big unicorns that know how to beat forecasts month after month. Some of these companies, like Salesforce, has $1.9 million of EBITDA per year. I think they know something that we could follow, right? And then you're kind of servicing almost that small enterprise middle market where it's like, hey, they don't have the boots on the ground in different countries. They don't have, because a lot of those companies I mentioned had offices and call centers here and then went remote, right? So your clients, but companies are like, hey, remote is here to stay. We're not going back to an office world. We know that these huge companies are making profit, right? We know that in the last 10 years, it was this growth at all cost model. And now we're into this efficiency and profit at all cost model. So I could tell that the companies they are international and they're hiring international. They have work. They have remote, right? Is it also safe to say that some of these companies that are interested or are good fits are also ones that are putting profit first over growth at all cost? Have you seen that, or is that
100%? Like, let's put it this way: there's like evolutions, right? You know, and I think the biggest evolution is, okay, you're a company today, you know, you have 50 employees, let's say, and you're based out of Switzerland. And I'm giving a real example because this is a company we just spoke to this morning. 50 employees backed by some pretty decent investors. You're trying to scale.
Not Charles Schwab, I hope. I'm just kidding.
If it was Charles Schwab, we'd be having a different conversation. But it's a great company. And in fact, you know, they're backed by one of our largest investors. So it was an intro made. And I can give you this example because I think it's very pertinent, right? They're thinking about how are they going to scale internationally with their product. It's an international financial services securities product, right? And it's, you know, basically applying technology to this sort of archaic banking world. They could do two things. They could, one, just say, hey, we're going to, you know, put our finger in the air and figure out where we're going to expand. Hey, maybe we need an office in Singapore. Maybe we need an office in the UK. Maybe we need one in Latin America and Brazil, or I don't know, Colombia, for example. And what is the biggest hesitant for them is that they don't know what they don't know, right? So they're thinking they open a legal entity in this market, they're going to have to pay taxes. They think they open a legal entity, they're going to have to apply by local regulations, when in fact, they're just selling software. They're not doing anything financial services related. So this just kind of tells you like the journey. Now, when it comes to financials, economics, like how much does this cost? Opening an office in these markets is very expensive. Not only like do you need to hire people, you need to like get, you know, registered, get a legal entity up and running. So putting aside the cost of talent, getting talent on top of getting an office and a legal entity is exorbitantly higher than just figuring out ways to get into a market and then take things from there. So I'm going to go into like what we recommend, right? Like
this kind of gets into also my next question, which was, is your software help that they couldn't do before, right? So before they had to open offices, learn the local laws, right? Local rules, shake and bake, shake some hands, fly down there. And now they can, which you're going to probably fill in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I didn't forget about your question regarding cost, but you know, just to get to that point, it's like, look, you have this evolution. What we recommend and what we've allowed customers to do in the last, let's just say 3 years, is think about ways to kind of take things step by step. Number one, you want to test out a market. All right, great. What do you want to test out? You want to hire, you know, a sales team to start doing biz dev in a market, or do you want to hire operational teams and actually get into that market from a local productization, localization standpoint? That's up to you. But even if you decide one or the other, you need to do the basics as we discussed earlier. But let's say you want to hire a sales team and you want to start getting local boots on the ground, selling your international product. The first thing you need to do, in my opinion, is to figure out how you can get talent. Number one, obviously CloudTask is definitely a great way to do that. But at the same time, you need to figure out like, okay, cool. What am I going to hire? One salesperson, five salespeople, 10 salespeople. You start with a couple of senior salespeople and then, you know, let's say you build it out from there. After that, what you're thinking about is, okay, cool. Now I have some product market or product country fit, as we call it, or product region fit. And now we want to say, all right, let's expand this out even further. Great. So we're going to hire a sales manager. Cool. Awesome. Now we need some support resources. Great. So we're going to hire some biz dev. We're going to hire some rev ops, whatever the case is. We're going to build up our go-to-market practice in this market. Cool. To do all of that, what I just mentioned, if you were to go and open a legal entity, that would take you a minimum of 6 to 12 months just to get that legal entity started, for you to be able to get talent to be able to work for that market. If you were,
yeah, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking of an acronym. We've all heard of MVP, minimal viable product. What about MOP, minimal office product, right? So the before, if you wanted to try global before, flying there, boots on the ground, local entity, local bank account, local taxes, right? Now with on top, a company could say, hey, before we do any of that, which we never have to do because they have on top, we can use on top for a minimal office product, almost kind of being like, well, this is our legal entities in a box. It's a platform, right? And all of the rules are baked into the platform and they can test out the talent, which is really why you want to open a marketplace. Or obviously, as you mentioned, it could be for talent to service the US market, or it could be you could want to penetrate that local market, right? How people use it's up to them. But it really allows them to focus on their hypothesis. There's good talent in this country, or there's a market for us to sell to, or there's both, right? There could be both. There could be talent in Colombia that sells to the States, but there could be talent in Colombia that sells to Colombia, right? But now that company, before they had your product, they would have to do a lot of investment and a lot of work just to even get the compliance in into place. But now they can use your platform. So it's almost like, you know, minimal global office as a service or a product, right? You could coin that word. You could take credit for it if it actually works. I probably won't, but that's kind of, I'm listening to you and it's a little bit cheating for me in the sense that while I'm doing this podcast, this is a topic that's near and dear to me, right? And I guess like I know what you guys do because like you know, you even allow us to like as a marketplace, we're not what you are, right? We are a RevOps marketplace where there are remote candidates, right? But people don't come to us to get employees, right? They come to us to get full-time remote candidates. Now we have a marketplace circumvention fee where someone wants to take them off the marketplace. If they want to take someone off the marketplace and they want to make them an employee, that's how we partner with you guys, right? They would use your platform to give them the payroll, right? So like we're both helping people get global talent, but you're focused more on the whole office as a service, where it's the taxes, the liability. You can have people in an office that are independent contractors and employees, right? So you can have both, right? So you're hyper focused on the payroll aspect, the legal aspect, right? We focus on the speed, interview, fast hire, right? That's kind of how we're working, and that's kind of how we jam together. If anyone's listening to this, but to me, it's a big deal because if you look at these billion-dollar companies, they are making billions of dollars and they're increasing their profit margins by hiring global talent. They were able to do it with huge amounts of investment from investors and the public markets. You're giving people, smaller companies and bigger ones, that same ability to do just that without the massive investments in time, technology, and people. So it's a faster, cheaper, more efficient way. I would put it in the painkiller category, not a candy or a vitamin, if you're thinking about opening a global office, because you're basically able to have instantaneous compliance and you could focus on who you're interviewing, what your onboarding process. You could focus on what you should, which is a remote first world, right? And I think a lot of people think that remote's coming back to the office. I don't think it is. And I think companies, instead of investing in local tax and local this, can focus on enablement, gamification, events and meetings remote, right? So it's like something's always, life's a compromise, right? And sure. And you know, with you guys, like even for us, and I'll say for you guys, like with working with OnTop, like we have been able to focus on building our marketplace. We've been focusing on the interviews, the questions. We've been able to not worry about people getting their payments on time because we've leaned on your platform for that, and the people have gotten their payments on time, right? So like we've been able to not necessarily think too deeply about these things, which we should. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that like we were neglecting it, but we've been able to leverage you guys to open up a global marketplace the same way that a company can leverage you guys to have, and they can have offices, right? Because you could have people in a local area, they can have an office, but they also could be remote. They can be anything they want to be as long as they're in that platform and it's managed, right? Which is awesome. So, you know, basically what people could do before without your software was they had to just spend a lot of time and money to go global. And now it's faster, cheaper, more efficient way of getting a global team.
Exactly. And I think just one thing to add to that, it's like, you know, there, it's not a black and white, right? It's not like, hey, just because you're hiring folks internationally or remotely in a certain market means that like, that's, you know, the kind of company you are or want to be, right? Like you can have local offices in certain markets and hire international talent remotely in other markets. Like, and I think that's like the key here, right? Because some markets, it makes sense, you know, like, hey, if you have a local market that you do, you know, most of your business in and most of your employee base is in, great. Like that's where you need to be. But 9 times out of 10, what you're going to see is as you scale globally, you don't really need that, right? What you need is talent. You need folks that understand your business that can either sell your product, work on your product, or operate your product, right? And so that comes from, you know, being able to get, you know, just number one, the right talent. Number two, getting them on board quickly so that you can actually continuously evolve in that market. And three, making sure that those employees have a great experience, which is the last topic I wanted to discuss, which is we actually do a really good job of hiring or helping to manage talent that's hired by giving them the best experience possible. Like think about if you want to get paid in Colombia today and you are working for a US company, 9 times out of 10, that US company is not going to know how to pay you in Colombia. But if they do, they're probably going to use their own sort of service that they have in mind. Is that service going to understand the Colombian market the way that an international payroll provider like OnTop does? Probably not. And the reason being is because what we've done is actually go into these local markets where we have contractors today and figure out the best way for not just benefits, but think about like the most important thing, getting paid, right? That's like bar none what employees want,
yeah,
to be seamless and easy and actually like get cents on the dollar that goes back into their wallet. To give you an example, in Argentina today, as you know, currency fluctuations all over the place. And what you realize is contractors are getting all sorts of different rates if they're getting paid in USD. What yeah. we've done in Argentina specifically, as just one quick example, is gone out, worked with local partners, and figured out a rate that is actually 5% less than what the bank rate is in the market. That is something you will never find in a country like Argentina. Why? Because these are rates that are not even accessible by people on the ground in the market, even working in financial services there. So a lot of the value that we provide is not just you having the access as a company to be able to pay, but Amir, I'm sure you can testify to this. It's like, think about all the companies that you work with today and their employees, especially their contractors, specifically in this case. What kind of experience do their contractors have? Do they have, you know, the ability to get paid quickly? Do they have the ability to get paid in the amount that they were thinking they're going to get
good
paid?
Rates?
So
yeah, and for people listening, a lot of people don't have this experience, right? So it's a whole different topic, but there's when you convert that money, there's invisible fees, the same way that it's a whole game of 401k, right? Like 401k, they take 1% compounded for years, and it's a lot of money you don't realize. So there's currency games that are being played by banks and this and that. And if I hear announced correctly, is that they're paying attention to those details. And I know that you guys also have a global team, right? You have a team everywhere too. So you care about your teammates getting paid the best rates too. So you're basically treating your customers as if they were your team, right? They're the same rates. You're fighting for those rates. So, you know, people don't know this, but when I go to buy food in Colombia, they ask me, pesos or dollars? Well, an American on vacation, their natural instinct is to say dollars. Guess what? You're paying 3% more.
Yep.
The waiters don't know that. It's going right into the pockets of, and by the way, if you invest in Visa, MasterCard, and those big companies, bravo, that's where the profit comes from, right? But it's you don't know these nuances, right? And they add up. And if you're paying 100 people's salary in Colombia, and they're getting 5% less on a conversion rate, that could equal hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. That's not going into anyone's pocket besides the government, or, you know, it's not getting into your employees' pocket. So, you know, anyone listening, it's not only all the compliance is baked in, but you guys kind of have an eye on the tricks that people play against you, and you're pushing back, right? It's like pushing back on these tricks so that your client, your employees get paid on time, but the best rate. And it's a big deal. And I know it's a lot of work, and it took me like 7 years. It took me 6 years being here to figure out that the whole, would you like to pay in pesos and US dollars is a big trick. You know what I mean? And this is happening a lot.
The way we like to call it is, we'll help you get your employees paid more without you spending another dollar.
Yeah.
That's called painkiller. That's really what it is, right? Like, we are increasing the value that your employees get without you actually having to do more work. In fact, we could probably save you money and make your employees more money at the same time, which is, again, for us, like, has allowed us to be successful in the last couple of years.
This rolls into my last question, because for you guys to be successful,
yeah,
your customers have to be successful.
That's right.
How should your users measure success on your platform? Last question for the day.
If you're a company today with the contractors in a certain market, if we can't solve a pain point for you, you probably shouldn't work for us or work with us, right? Like if we can't either help you get your employees paid quicker or help you save on costs, like, we're not a fit for you. But 9 times out of 10, based on the conversations my team have globally right now with companies, we are doing that. And the reason is because we are hyper-focused, like I said, on the experience that companies get in these markets. We understand these markets well. And the way to measure whether or not we are being successful, even once you're a customer, is, are your employees or contractors happy? Number one. Number two, are you continuously getting the benefit of using OnTop and scaling, right? Like, if you're launching in a market in Colombia and we can't help you onboard contractors in, you know, a day, like, we're not doing our job, right? So these are the things that we're looking to solve for, right? Time to go live, time to onboarding, employee experience, and making sure that you can do payroll painlessly on a monthly basis. So if you're not sending us tickets, and if you're not seeing, you know, for example, errors in our platform, we're doing a good job. And hopefully your employees are feeling the same sort of positives as we are as well.
So customers that are using OnTop should measure their success in our platform by their ability to grow international with less headaches and less problems.
That's a great way to put it.
I have to learn how to make things simple because of my marketplace brain now. It's changing. Anas, this has been awesome. I'm like, I love what you guys are doing. I hope to give you guys continuous feedback and just continue the journey. I think we're both have you guys are hiring top talent, globally for a long time. I've been interacting with your team that's been all over Latin America. So I think both of us with our expansions are helping a region, and we're also doing our best to help companies increase profit margins in different ways. For anybody who wants to try OnTop, I put the link in the description. You can click it, try out the trial. Anybody who wants to learn more about global payments or follow you, what's the best way for them to be in touch, to learn from you, and to get some pre-IPO stock once FinTech gets back in 5 years?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that day. But in the meantime, please feel free to visit our website. We have, you know, some great content on there. If you're looking to hire internationally, you know, we have some guides on there. Not only that, like, if you do want to reach out to us, there's a quick link on there that you'll see. You know, we're going to get back to you really quickly. And I think the name for us is to be able to give you, you know, an experience that you haven't had before, you know, really showing you all that we understand, you know, the markets that you're in and want to be in, and that we want to be a value add for you if you do reach out to us. So please do take a look and let us know.
Ryan, I appreciate you being on. I love what you built, and I hope to continue to see you guys in a journey. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to the Transform Sales Podcast, the sales software review series. Anas, you're the man. I appreciate you, dude.